destroying their relationship with their father. But in the kingdom of God, we all get adopted. We all get healed. We all get set free. And we're lifted out of the agony of our own experience or the abandonment we feel in sin. And we become accepted in the beloved heart of God. Hey, tonight, continuing my series on kill it before it kills you. Just tell your neighbor, kill it before it kills you. We're talking about overcoming discouragement. Discouragement is like a poisonous viper. You can't keep it as a pet and not have it bite you and infect you with its poison. We have to kill it before it kills us. So discouragement is often under, people don't realize the significance it has in their life. But more people quit their journey of faith because of discouragement than because of any other reason. And God wants you to be a person that learns how to whatever it takes to get through. And just to tell someone here tonight, someone came with a broken heart tonight and God's healing you. Right during that prophetic song from Pastor Bidger, he was touching someone's heart in a great way. First scripture tonight, Nehemiah chapter 4. They're rebuilding the wall. They're doing something good, but they encountered unexpected difficulties. And one of the things in life that we all have to become pretty well-versed at is how to deal with setbacks and how to overcome disappointment. Now, here's what happened in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. Judah was assigned to rebuild the wall by finding the stones that were buried under garbage. Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing. There's so much rubbish that we're not able to build the wall. And so what happened was for 70 years, when Jerusalem was conquered, they pushed through the wall and they pulled the bricks down into the valleys surrounding Jerusalem. And then for 70 years, they used those gaps in the walls as just garbage dumps. And so they'd throw their garbage in and it would flow down the hill and land the top of the stone. So now they've got two generations full of garbage. But underneath the garbage, there's something valuable. And what you find out in your life is that if you can dig through your garbage, you're going to be okay. You're going to find some really powerful stuff in your life. But there is always, when you say to God, God, do whatever it takes in me. Get me ready. If there's anything in me that you want to deal with, suddenly we're aware of more stuff than we ever thought we had. So they're overwhelmed by the amount of rubbish, okay? This happens 10 times. 10's the number of testing in the Bible. And our adversary said, verse 11, they will not know nor see till we come in their midst and kill them, cause the work to cease. So they're both working, then they're being threatened, they're being intimidated. The devil doesn't care that you're a Christian as long as you don't become a healed, healthy, dynamic, spirit-filled, kingdom-advancing Christian in your destiny. And so they're pushing the destiny and their adversities, their adversaries are alerted and alarmed. And so that happened, and so Nehemiah has a strategic plan. And he said this, verse 13, I positioned men in the lower parts of the wall and the openings. I set people according to their families with their swords, their spears, their bows. And so he positioned people strategically across the wall so that everybody was under some form of watch or protection. And then he says this great message to them. He says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord your God, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. So he said, don't let the enemy trick you out of your inheritance by making you quit. You fight for your families. I want to encourage you. You keep fighting for your families. You keep fighting for the things God's promised you. You keep fighting for the inheritance God has in your life. Hey, before I forget, Pastor Cal, come up for a minute. This is an outrageous testimony. Pastor Cal had, you know, the landlord at the place, our CFTN campus, came to Christ. And is it okay to give that publicly?
Sure.
Yeah, just tell him about this outrageous, conversion to Christ.
Well, we've been in our building. We started leasing our building about 4 months ago. What's up, CFTN Chandler? So we about 4 months ago, and when we were coming into the building, the landlord had come over and just saw us working and starting to kind of get the chairs set up. And he said, "I just love the spirit of your people." And I kind of looked at him, and there was just kind of a connection. And I started talking to him about just what was God was doing in the place, the vision we had. And he goes, "You know, you guys might be the group to convert me." And I said, "Oh, you can bank on it. That's why we're here." So, you know, just as he's kind of come around and just seen the things we were doing in the faith and the vision of the people in the house, he was really drawn to us. And so finally, he said he was going to be attending, and finally he attends. He comes in the back and does his landlord duty. You know, he says, "I'll probably be here for about 5 to 10 minutes. Don't worry, I'll slip out." Well, he ended up staying the entire service, broke at the end, received Christ. It was amazing, and he gave his life to the Lord. The next week, he came again. He brought somebody. They broke. The next weekend, we had a counter-intensive, which is all about the cross. He went to that, was completely just wrecked and restored, and he came over today, and he says, "Man, I can't wait till Sunday." And I said, "Well, we're having a service on Friday, so, you know, you can come this week." So he is just, you see the transformation in his life, and it's just a great testimony of what God's doing. Thank you, Pastor.
You know, it's also a really good evidence, you know, of Pastor Cal and the church, by their example, really making Christ attractive, and then creating a atmosphere for this man and his family to come to Christ. Just awesome, awesome news. So we're going to overcome discouragement by recognizing it, resisting it, fighting against it. We're fighting for our families. I just want to say, some of you are really close to some massive miracles. It was 2 weeks ago on this night when I went home on Wednesday night, and I had a dream, and 7 times in the dream, God said to me, "A new season has begun, a new season has begun." And it was startling because, you know, seven, just he kept saying it to me with some fillers, some stuff in between. I just want to say over your life, a new season has begun. Things are going to be different in this season because God is engaged in your life in a powerful, dynamic way. So tell your neighbor, keep fighting. Fight for your family. Okay? And he said, remember God. Remember how great God is. Fight for it. And then they stopped it. The main part of this attack against Nehemiah, there was never physical assault. There was always only mental and emotional oppression. There was never a physical conflict. The enemy tried to win by mental manipulation, by emotional terror. And Nehemiah helped his people get through that. And you're going to get through this season too. You're close. You're very, very close. I have a scripture for you. I don't know if the guys can get it on the screen or not, but from 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is a great story because it involves all kinds of things. David's only 3 days away. So here's what I feel to say to someone. You're 3 days away from a great breakthrough, okay? You're that close. You're in the season of things happening. It's already unfolded. It's begun. And so David's coming to Ziklag in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. And on the third day, he was attacked by the Amalekites, okay? So David and his men are gone. The city's attacked by the Amalekites. And when the Amalekites came, they burned everything, but they didn't kill anyone. They took the women and children captive. So they plundered the houses of wealth and kidnapped the people. Now please get this. It is a tactical strategy of the enemy that when he wants to discourage you, he'll attack your family and finance. It's tactical. Because both of those things create pressures. Okay, they create an internal, just ongoing angst. And so you're close to something. If the devil's attacking your finance and your family at the same time, you're close to a breakthrough, okay? That's what I say to you. Something's up, okay? So the Amalekites come, and it's so strategic because David's almost there. Now please get this. Discouragement is often the strongest when breakthrough is the closest. So you can, like, like how we used to make pictures and develop them in a dark room. You take a negative. So if you can properly interpret your negatives, you can see the positive outcome of your future. Okay? So the Amalekites come, cities burned, and the women and children taken captive, their wealth stolen. Verse 3, David and his men came back to the city that was on fire, burnt down, their wives and children kidnapped. David and his men, verse 4, sat down and wept, lifted up their voices and wept till they had no more power to weep. So they cried every tear out of their tear ducts and just unleashed a torrent of sorrow. These are the most mighty men. In fact, there's an entire chapter written of their exploits in 2 Samuel, and yet they're deeply impacted by the loss of their wives and children. So there's nothing unspiritual about having emotion. Okay? In fact, a person that can't express emotion has an emotional problem. So it's good to feel joy. It's good to feel sorrow. It's good to feel anger. Those aren't bad things. But in the kingdom, God gives us spiritual discipline over our emotional behavior. So the Bible says weeping endures. It's good to have grief about something that you've lost. But joy comes. So any negative emotion that we let stay past an expiration point becomes toxic to our soul and life. So just like my wife, because she's the funniest thing, she goes to the refrigerator like once a week, and she just looks at all the bottles and the expiration dates of ketchup and mayonnaise, and I'm thinking, honey, if it doesn't stink, don't throw it away. And she tells me, by the time it stinks, it's already deadly, you know? So what we have to do is recognize when we've had a prolonged season of a negative emotion engaged in our life, because it's going to begin to affect our health. Okay? Physically, emotionally, relationally, every part of it. So in the kingdom, God gives us tools to overcome. Weapons of war. The Holy Spirit. Worship and praise. I don't know about you, I've been worshiping my brains out this week, okay? Hours at home dealing with some stuff, but good, and I'm pushing through. So here's a great thought. So the Amalekites, there's a history in the Bible about this tribe. So their name means, this is a kind of a long definition, a warlike people that licks up. And when Emily was translating it for me, she said, are you sure this is right? Yeah. So the idea of licks up as being a warlike people that are so devastating, they leave nothing behind. They burn cities to the ground. They deprive the cities, of anything valuable. So their first introduction was when Israel came out of Egypt. So Israel's coming out. They're free. Hallelujah, they're free. And there's this massive congregation. There's 2 million people. And they're coming out. And so what they didn't know was they were being studied by an enemy. And Israel faced several enemies there. And God gave them triumphant victories, but one enemy was particularly devastating because of the method they used to assault Israel, and it was the Amalekites. And so what the Amalekites did was, from their perched view from a mountaintop, they looked down at the Israelites, and they said, look it, all the strong young leaders are in the front of this massive congregation, and all the old, the weak, the elderly, and the young children are at the rear. Let's attack them where they're weak. The Amalekite spirit is the spirit of discouragement that attacks you when you feel weak. Finds your weak spot and finds when you're feeling weak. Okay? So it's an assassin who studies you and knows your weak spot. It's really important that you know your weak spot, okay? Because then you make protective allowance. You surround yourself in an administration of accountability and grace and whatever it takes. Okay, so the Amalekites attacked him. So God is so upset. So here's a couple things God said in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. remember what Amalek did to you on your way coming out of Egypt, how he met you on your way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear. When you were tired and weary, he did not fear God. Therefore, it will be when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around in the land which the Lord God is giving you to possess as his inheritance, that you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. So here's what he said. When things are going good, I want you to be on the lookout for this thing. Because people can be discouraged for no reason except the devil's attacking them. And I want you to blot that. You got to kill it, baby. Come on. As a ex-depressed person, you with me? As a person who experienced a 2-year depression, you have to kill it, okay? You have to do whatever it takes. You have to fight against it. You have to recognize it and not become sympathetic to it, okay? Not fuel it. Not feed it, but overcome it. So God says, I'm upset with that spirit. But the method, the thing that studies you and finds where you're weak and when you're weak and hits you both simultaneously in your weakest spot when you feel the weakest. And in Jesus' name, the devil's a liar. He can't take you out. The moment that spirit comes against you, grace pours into you, and you're going to make it through whatever you're going through, okay? Here's another example, Exodus chapter 17. Moses is in conflict with Amalek. Verse 8, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, the Valley of Giants. So it was when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands became heavy. Even leaders get discouraged. You with me? Lady came to my wife a few months ago and said, it must be so wonderful living with the prophet. Does he just wake up and prophesy to you every day? My wife says, no. Takes him a while to get his engine going. He's got to go read and pray and worship. Work out everything I do every morning. So leaders get discouraged. So here's a point. This bottle's not heavy. It's only a pound, 2 pounds, whatever it is. And you know, I can easily do anything I want to it. But if my demonstration was tonight, for 35 minutes, I'm going to hold this water bottle out with my hand extended. In about 15 minutes, this is what be happening. The whole front row will be getting baptized, okay? Shh. Because it's... Often it's not the weight of something that discourages people. It's the length they've had to carry the weight. It's the duration. It's not how heavy something is. It's how long you have to carry it. Because we go through it. You know, 20 years ago, I went through my thing, and I said to the Lord, I can handle 6 weeks of this. I was measuring my capacity. And said, you know what, I think I could handle this storm for 6 weeks. You know, so the story, 6 years later, when it began to finally stop, I thought, how did I make it through 6 years? First of all, I didn't know my capacity. God did. I didn't know how great his grace was, greater than I thought. You with me? You'll never face a storm in life stronger than God's grace to carry you through it. Never, no matter what it looks like. So Moses' hands are heavy, and every now and then he would just rest. And whenever he would rest his hands, the enemy would advance. And so they took a stone, just for fun. Can you imagine being if it's me, because I have a little ornery streak, I'd be doing this. Because there's this back and forth. So what happens is this. When we become inconsistent in our spiritual life, the enemy advances against us. So Joshua means Jesus. So Jesus is fighting our battles. We're worshiping God and praying, but we get tired of prayer. We stop praying, the enemy advances. So even prayer warriors need prayer warriors. Just Just talking with my pastor friend Steve tonight. Pastors need pastors. Everybody needs something. God made it so we would all be interdependent on each other, and no one would be so strong they didn't need anyone or anything. God put what I need in you and what you need in me so that we'd be connected and be vulnerable and be open and be in relationship. So Moses, so they sat Moses down on the rock, and then Aaron and Hur came and supported his hands, one on each side. And they held up his hands to the going down of the sun. Now this is just so massively important. Never underestimate the importance of a word of encouragement to someone who's discouraged. Because sometimes the way we hold people's hands up is just to breathe some life on them. Just to encourage them. And if you're looking for a ministry, I believe the most valuable ministry in this season in the kingdom is the ministry of encouragement. Be a builder-upper. Be an encourager. And always know this too. Everybody you meet is in some kind of struggle. Just some people are just so professional and so well-skilled, they can hide it better than some of us. You know, I can't hide stuff. I'm like, ugh. When I'm going through it is obvious. And but some people are really good. But just know this. Look, it doesn't matter how they act. Everybody loves encouragement because everybody needs it. Okay, so they did that. So then Joshua, Jesus defeated Amalek with the edge of the sword. So you're going to win if you don't quit. The devil can't defeat you. He can only deceive you into quitting before your victory comes. He only can win by deception and by the weapon of discouragement. Okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, this is the big deal to God. Write this for a memorial in the book. Recount it in the hearing of Joshua. I will utterly blot out the remembrance of the spirit of discouragement from under heaven. Moses built an altar there and called its name, the Lord is my banner, Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner of victory. God loves to give you the testimony in the same place where the enemy is giving the strongest attack and conflict. So they raised the banner, and the Lord said, verse 16, the Lord has sworn he will war with Amalek from generation to generation. God recognizing the longevity of the spirit. So David and his men, back to 1 Samuel 6 or 30. They lose everything. David's distressed. His own men talk about killing him. And so listen. If you're going to be a leader, you have to be strong enough to endure the harshness of discouraged people. Because it's not that they hated David. They hated what had happened to them, and they poured it out. They projected it on David. If you can work through this process, when people are telling you the things that are wrong with you, they're really telling you the things wrong with them. Okay? They're showing you. And if you can get back past the offense and the criticism, the hurt and the dishonor, all that stuff, you can understand something about what they really need. You know? Discouraged people become hurtful in their behavior. Okay? So that's why we have to conquer it. Amen? This is the big, huge deal to me. Because someday, because of my position in the church, I will stand before Jesus and I'll be accountable for this. Everything I've done in this room, everything I've done in my office, I'll be accountable. And my big thing is I never want to misrepresent the heart of God. Now, no one bats 1,000 there, but I want to fulfill. So that means I never want a healing place to become a hurting place. Okay? And so what happens with leaders, because if you're going through a hard time, you've not yet processed your pain, leaders will speak God's word, but they'll also incorporate it some emotional violence in it. Okay, I'm going to go a little deeper just to mess with you. So I grew up with a lot of holiness preaching. I'm for holiness. I don't want to compare my life to yours, but I live pretty good on that way, okay? So I don't want to brag about all that stuff that just makes God nervous. But so many of the holiness preachers I knew that raged against the sin in their churches were living in secret sin. And the real rage they felt was their internal conflict, because they were unable to conquer something and they were just venting on the people. So that's what angry preaching is, okay? Is someone defeated? They're defeated in some part in their life, but they're trying to make you feel bad so you can join them in their defeat. But answered 1,000 altar calls for sin. Everybody needs sin? Well, if we had an altar call for sin tonight and you didn't come forward, you'd be sinning. Okay? Well, let me get this right. You've gone through a 24-hour cycle with nothing? Not even a thought? Remember Jesus said, you guys say don't do these things. I say don't think these things. Oh, ouchie. You with me? It's not enough that I don't do things. Now if I think them and think about doing them, Jesus, the same thing as you've done them. Oh, bummer. Okay. So God says, I'm going to, from generation to generation, raise up a banner. Now when I go around the world, it's amazing how much anxiety, discouragement, depression people are facing. Just, it's chronic in the Western world. So we have to fight against it. And praise God, the Holy Spirit will help us. Amen? He's the comforter. He's the counselor. He's the helper. He's the encourager. He will help us through these seasons. Okay, so David and his men, so David's now enduring the duality of his own suffering and now the lack of honor from his people he's leading. So he's has two fronts to be discouraged on. But verse 6 closes with it. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Now, please, beloved, get this. Ultimately, your emotional health is up to you. And you don't want to be a person who's angry your whole life because of what someone else did to you. Don't give someone that much power in your life that they create a bitterness or anger or unresolved issue your whole life. Don't allow that. So David did something about it. So sometimes you've got to preach to yourself. Sometimes you've got to get up early before work and read your Bible and pray and play, listen to worship music and not go out with the gang. You have to do whatever it takes. Go to church on Wednesday night. You have to do whatever it takes. Don't you love talking to your non-church friends? Where are you going tonight? Church? Weren't you just there Sunday? Let me get this right. You go on Sunday and Wednesday? Every week? What's up with that? But they don't know. When you're hungry for God, it's you can't not do it. And when you need God, you have to do it. So David preaches. He strengthens himself. He encourages himself. So in counseling, we call this self-talk. And self-talk is the inner dialogue your heart has all the time. You're talking with yourself all the time, okay? You're having this inner dialogue. And what God wants you to do is to infuse his word, his spirit, his promises into that dialogue. So God showed me it was a new season. I've been saying for 2 weeks it's a new season. Something great's happening. I've been preaching. Last night my wife was preaching to me. I was preaching back to her. Well, just awesome. Wow, we were having a preaching contest. It was awesome. Oh, yeah, this one's even better. Wait till you hear this scripture. It was awesome. So we have to do whatever it takes. Amen? And not to allow. So Hebrews 12 says, be careful lest inside of your heart develops a root of bitterness. And when it grows up, it spreads its contamination to everybody. So listen, angry people are unhealed, broken people. So especially men. Men don't know how to process pain. They just jump to anger. But an angry man is a hurting man. But the problem is, by the time a person becomes bitter, that every realm of their life becomes defiled by it. So their relationships, their perspective, their job, their family, everything is contaminated by the weed of bitterness. And God says, don't let that thing grow in you. Don't get bitter. If you forgive people, God will take away the bitterness. If you forgive people, you'll forget the pain they caused you. If you trust God, say, God, thank you for healing me. Just keep contending, believing, fighting for health in your heart, your life, and get past whatever's trying to discourage you. I don't know what it would be like to grow up without a father or a mother. Some of you have had very difficult journeys. I just know this. In the kingdom of God, because of my own story, there's nothing you'll ever go through that God can't bring you out of. There's nobody here that God would say, oh, I can help everybody but you. That is so bad. Wow. Jesus, look at that. Isn't that horrible? Yeah, we can't do nothing about that. Holy Spirit says, woo, too much for me. That's never going to happen. Okay, David encouraged himself and the Lord is God. So then he went to, now this is really important. Encouraged people think about the future. Okay, so you know your heart's getting healthy when you start dreaming again. So David goes to the priest and he says to the priest, bring me the ephod. And so David asked the Lord, should I go pursue the enemy and will I win? And so God couldn't wait to answer back. God says, yes, yes, yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, God says, yes, yes, yes. Okay? So the priest said, or God said to the priest, pursue, you will surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Now this is massive because God's after some stuff in this generation. See, if we accept loss as a permanent fixture in our hearts, our families, our life, we will never get back what God wanted us to have. The more encouraged you get, the more revelation you have about the stuff God wants you to get back. I'm getting my stuff back. Come on, you're living in my stuff gotten back. I'm getting my stuff back. Okay? I'm getting my stuff back. So David, in one cycle of time, he's 3 days away from being king. He doesn't know that. But instead of taking 6 months or 6 years, he deals with something in 6 hours. And in one cycle of time, he says, I'm ready to go get my stuff back. And God says, I'm ready to help you. I'm ready to see your family saved, your finances restored. See, when you tell your people, I tell people how much I've lost, only to tell them how much God's restored. If your story ends with how much you're lost, it's not over. God wants to encourage you to the point where you can see getting your stuff back, your family back, your finances, your health, your ministry, your destiny, whatever it is. Recover all. Everything. One of the most important revelations is the Holy Spirit to show you how much you and your family have lost, or how much this generation has lost. Rehoboam was King Solomon's son, and he made a compromise with the enemy, and they came, and Solomon had these solid gold shields, 50 of them. And so Solomon would come out on his elevated porch and patio, and the sun would hit those shields and the people would go crazy. Oh, look, the glory of God. And when Rehoboam became king, he gave all those shields away and replaced them with a cheap counterfeit made out of bronze. And there was some similarity, but the value wasn't the same. And in the church world especially, we have so many bronze shields acting like we've got the genuine article. And God says, I got something better than that. How about a real revival? How about a real transformative revival where cities are changed, where cultures change, where lives, where nations, come on. How about when nations are swept into the kingdom in such a radical season of visitation that from the government, from the richest to the poorest, from all the spheres of influence, every realm of society is changed. Ask of me, I'll give you nations. David says, can I get my stuff back? God says, yeah. Tell your neighbor you're supposed to get your stuff back. Just tell him that. Okay. So David went, okay. So David's going, he's got 600 guys, 200 of them get tired, so he leaves them behind. They come to a brook called Besor. And if I don't end this sermon pretty soon, you're all going to be sore here. So the word Besor in Hebrew means to burn inside with fire. Now, I just want to close with this idea. Part of your restoration is to get your mojo back. You know what bothers me? Passionless Christians. Okay? Their passions have either been blunted by the hostility of religious teachings or by the hardships of life, and they're saved, but they're just going through the motions. What God wants you to do, God wants you to have your mojo back. Remember when you couldn't wait to wake up, instead of you just wake up and say, oh, good God, it's morning. Instead of, good God, it's morning. Remember when you couldn't wait? Remember, how many of you had the experience of falling in love with somebody? You don't want to go to sleep because then you stop thinking about them. And so the word Besor means to burn inside with fire. Now here's the thing. Part of your restoration is for you to get your passion back, because desire ends up being the fuel that runs the engine of the pursuit of your purpose. See, what we help people find their destinies. Here's what I know. If you're not called to do something, you're not going to be good at it, and you're not going to last long. So we try to find people in the church, especially. We want people that feel called to something and are passionate about something. I'm glad Miss Kadri is passionate about kids. Aren't you? Thank you. Yeah, the cutest boy in the church, Aiden. Their little son, Derek, he's Aiden. He's just one M away from being a maiden. We've practically raised him around. But can you imagine if she hated, oh, these kids, my God. Come here, kids. Bible verse today, here. God loves you. Kids are hard enough to work with. Life is hard. Man, without passion, then listen to me. Passion doesn't mean finding the right job. It means finding the right purpose, even when you're in the wrong job. You're passionate about Jesus, about taking a city, about winning your souls, about whatever it is. God wants you to drink in of his spirit until the flame of desire is ignited. Rachel came to Jacob and said, give me a child or I'm going to die. Give me children or I die. Jacob says, oh my God. You're praying to the wrong person. Same chapter. She prays that prayer to God. God opens her womb. Ah, there's something about passion. When I raised my four kids, it wasn't just because I was a preacher. It was because I'm a Christian. They'd pray in meals and stuff. And so taking turns, okay, it's your turn. They take it to prayer. And if they just, because they grew up in church, they can just fake it so good. They're like, oh, God, bless this day. And thank you for all your blessings, and bless the missionaries. So half the time I would stop. If you don't pray that like you mean it, go up to your bedroom. Oh God, bless this food, bless the missionaries, send revival. I wasn't being mean. Religion is passionless Christianity. Jesus spoke, the Bible says, as one having authority. there was a dynamic in his speaking. I tell all my California cool friends. Come on, I was in a service, the guy's 30 years old. He brings up the stool. I'm thinking, that's for a 60-year-old guys, man. What are you doing? You don't need a stool. You're 31. Getting his Bible out, got a hole in his jeans. I need to get some holy jeans. That's the newest rage right there. So right there, hole in the jeans. Written that. Hey, man, let's just talk about that's great, great. Be yourself, be cool, but have some passion, man. Have some. See, the devil's not afraid of you until you have more passion than him for your stuff. Give me the devil. I know you want the city, but I want it more than you. And God wants it more than me. We're taking this city for Jesus. Whatever it is, I pray that you build this bonfire of desire until you can't live without it, until it consumes you, becomes an obsession that it's in your prayer life, your thoughts of God, you're going to do this, I know it, until it's a part of your vocabulary, both externally and internally, until you think about it and talk about it all the time, and then you're ready. So David and his men go, they happen to run into an Amalekite who leads him right to the camp. Verse 18 and 19 and 20, David fought them, got all his stuff back, got all his men's stuff back, got all his family back. Listen to me. And then got all the Amalekite nation's wealth back. In one day, David went from the poorest man in Israel to the riches. The Amalekites had this treasure, this treasury of wealth that they had been collecting from the nations for years. And in one day, it was all David's. See, part of the reward of conquering discouragement on the other side is the reparations of victory. God doesn't just put you back where you were. He gives you 10 times more than what you had. He expands your world. Last thought. Here's what happened to Saul. So King Saul, the first thing when he's anointed king, Samuel comes to him and says, thus saith the Lord, go fight with Amalek to utterly destroy them. Remember, hundreds of years earlier, God had told Moses, I will never stop fighting against that nation, against that spirit. So Saul goes and fights with them, and he notices the best things. So he saves the best Amalekites and the best wealth. So he compromises and doesn't destroy it. And God's offended by it. Samuel prophesies the kingdom would be taken from him. 1 Samuel ends with chapter 31 with this. Saul's in battle. He's knocked off. He's on the ground. And standing over him and plunging a sword into his heart is an Amalekite. He strips his crown, takes his sword, runs over to David and said, I've killed your enemy. Here's his crown. Here's the crown of Israel. Here's the sword of Saul. And David said, who are you? He said, I'm an Amalekite. Because the thing that Saul didn't kill early in his ministry killed him. You got to kill it, or else it'll kill you. Come on, stand on your feet, give God some praise. God, we love you. We worship you and praise you. We're grateful for all of your blessings. We're grateful for your faithfulness. And Lord, I thank you that someone tonight is killing it. They're going to leave this place different. They've made some critical decisions and they've opened their heart in a new dimension, and you're flooding in every agency of heavenly support, strength, and grace. And God, tonight, I just command the spirit of discouragement to leave the heart of this people, especially those that have been under a strategic demonic attack. We rebuke that assignment against you in Christ's name and declare that tonight something shifts in the heavens over your life as you're coming into a realm of freedom and a realm of encouragement and a realm of restoration. Your story's not over till God makes it good. And God will make it good unless you quit before he's done. Lord, thank you. Prayer team, would you join me down front, please? Come on, keep worshiping, Lord, everybody. You're doing so good. Just want to take a couple minutes here, not race through this portion. I feel like the Holy Spirit's touching some lives in a beautiful way. God, thank you for everything you feel and have and you've intended for your bride, your people, your church. Thank you, God, everything's changing. Just turn to someone and say, everything's changing. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, praise you, worship you, God. I got a great word for you guys. Can you join hands together? Let me pray for you. I heard the Lord say, I'm shifting everything tonight. And you're going to see in these next 6 months the fulfilled answers of 6 years of prayer for one situation and about 10 years of prayer for another. Everything's shifting in your world. And this is the season, daughter and son of Isaac, of laughter, of heavenly fulfillment, of God being satisfied by the completion of his purpose over your life and about these prayers, beautiful prayers, heartfelt prayers that have risen to God. As we stand here tonight, someone who's behaved in these destructive, self-destructive ways being set free. A mind is being delivered. A heart is being set free. And a physical, biological chemistry is being changed. I break the chemical need and I loosen a miracle. God, thank you that you're a great God. And Lord, I thank you. So with both of you, it's interesting. So God's touching both of your physical bodies because there's a wave of miracles that's going to happen for like 7 or 8 years. He's restoring your strength. He's touching you. I saw God do a miracle right through your chest. So he's touching both of your bodies and you're going to feel what the Bible says, your strength renewed like an eagle. God, I thank you in Jesus' name for total healing, strength, restoration, that these eagles are going to soar. And I just heard the Lord say, doesn't matter. So I see two reports. The Lord says, doesn't matter what they've said. It only matters what I say. And I say, healing is yours. Victory is yours. Victory is coming to those that you love. And restoration is coming to your family in Jesus' name. God, thank you for it. Amen. Come on, you're doing good. You're doing good. Keep worshiping God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So, there's three people in this section here that have really been fighting discouragement or kind of a form of depression. If that's you, just hold up your hands because God's just going to wave. Thank you, God. If you're close to them, touch somebody. God, I declare healing to your sons and daughters right now in Jesus' name. You're so invested. You care so much. You love so much. And you're able to do this. So we speak healing to these precious ones now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for complete freedom. Tonight you pour in encouragement, hope, love, and you lift them to a new place. This man in the back row with the glasses. Yeah, I saw a phone. You're going to hear good news from a son who's been disconnected. He's alive, but he's not treated you as if you're alive. God's restoring a miracle there. And God's healing a breach, and God's going to do a miracle in that whole family because of your prayers and your steadfastness. Someone who is sick in your family, as you stand here tonight, I speak God's power over your family and send God's word of healing to someone who is sick tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Jesus. You're doing good, everybody? The three things you ask God to do, he's doing. He's doing all three of them for your family, doing them for you. This isn't just a change season. This is a better season. Better things are coming. Better circumstances, both housing, finances, and job. Great things are coming. God, thank you in Christ's name. Come on, keep worshiping, everybody. Worship the Lord. You're doing good. Doing good. So, someone here in your family had a kind of catastrophic injury where there's been some kind of disability, not total, but some kind of, I think in legs and arms, some kind of real trouble. And I just saw the Lord just do a miracle and that person just begin to move their arm around, have mobility. Who is that? I feel like you're close to me. So God, we just thank you for a creative miracle right now in Christ's name. I'm going to touch you again. The moment I touch you, I send God's word into that environment that resurrects their body, that restores their nervous system, that repairs their muscles, and that heals them. And everything they couldn't do, for those, especially the last 10 months, is suddenly going to come back in the full manifestation. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. We send your word of life and healing in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. Everyone here, listen, if you've been fighting any kind of discouragement, let's kill it, okay? If that's you, just hold up your hands and say, Pastor, I've been fighting some discouragement. I got my hand up tonight, I gotta admit. Fighting. I have some, but I'm fighting. Not giving up to it. Not writing another country album. I'm sorry, poor country people. So just say this out loud. Tonight I make a decision that I'm not going to quit. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for your strength in my life. I appropriate all of your power, all of your grace to overcome. And I boldly declare, I will overcome discouragement. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will dream about my tomorrow. I will get my stuff back. My family will be free. My heart will be healed. My life restored in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Now, come on, give him some praise. Give him some praise. Come on. Come on, give him some praise. Thank you, Jesus. So, there's someone here I saw the Lord touch one of the veins coming to your heart. So, there's a clogged artery or some kind of congenital heart condition. You've not had the full forces. Listen, when your heart's not working right, your brain doesn't work right, your immune system, everything's affected by it. So God's doing a creative miracle to someone here with the heart problem, a physical heart defect. If that's you, just wave your hand at me, because I just believe right now, before you leave tonight, the Holy Ghost is going to touch it. So wherever you are, just say, Pastor, that's me. Okay. Yeah, Pastor Cal, just touch her. We loosen a creative miracle in the name of Jesus. So I saw, Miss Lord, here's what I saw. I saw both 15 years ago and then 30 years ago, doctors predicted the year you would die. I rebuke those predictions in Jesus' name. And I declare over you that you will live and not die. And with long life, God will satisfy you. And I loosen healing to your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, someone give God a shout of praise. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we bless our families in any part of your world where there's been circumstantial discouragement. I just want you to unleash, just briefly, a little torrent of prophetic faith to it, okay? Lord, thank you for victory in my family, whatever it is. Just right now, thank God for it. Yahweh Nisi, the banner of victory, raise up a word right now and speak it over your life and family. Word of grace. God's going to do some great things as you talk, as you give him the ammunition, as you side with him and align with him. He'll do many great things. Thank you, God. There's no doubt about the calling of God in your life. God's very proud of you for a host of reasons. But the leadership thing in your life just ain't going away. So it is obvious to people within a few moments of interaction with you. So you carry something. It's not a boastful, you're very humble and gentle, but you carry a strength and a grace of leadership. And this year, so I saw this year, like you started to run, and you were running so fast, and then you leaped. It was like off a cliff, and you just started flying. So this is your running start year and leaping. You're leaping into destiny this year. You're going to leap into powerful leadership. I heard the Lord say, so three areas of study, three areas of interest and passion in academics, whatever it is. God's God's putting it all together. It's going to converge into a dynamic, meaningful expression of the kingdom. The Lord's got it all under control, but God's going to use you, put you in a team, use you for a world-shaking, international platform of freedom. So something with people, either women in sexual slavery, whatever it is, whole bunch of good stuff's going to happen in your life, through your witness, and through your testament. And so here's the good thing that's going to happen with you. So I saw you, like 2 years from now, you're sitting in an office, you're talking to someone who's very wealthy in this massive sky rise. And as you're talking to them, they start crying. People are not going to be able to resist the spirit you're going to carry. God's giving you a heart that cannot be refuted. And the Lord said he's proud of the way that you've overcome this year. And the enemy, so like 6 months ago, tried to penetrate your heart with a brokenness. But God's even healing that. Everything you need is in the hand of God. He's opening it for you. He's helping you. And awesome things are about to happen. Get ready. You got your tennis shoes on. I'm proud because God's ready. It's time to run. God, I thank you for your hand upon my sister. Thank you for the running start she's going to have and the blast off she's going to have in Christ's name. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Last year, Pastor Bob and David think this is fun. So last year, about 18 months ago, I was coming to church. And on the way to church, I was complaining about the parking lot at the church. And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to drive to the parking lot. It's like the Grand Canyon. And the Lord said to me, when are you going to stop cursing your parking lot? So I drove in the church. I changed my attitude. I said, Lord, thank you. This parking lot's paved. It's beautiful. Blah, 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 blah. I bless it in Christ's name. It wasn't 3 or 4 months later. Someone paid for our parking lot to get paved. It was all done. Just like that. And I thought, man, that was like 6.5 years I wasted complaining about something. All I had to do was bless it. See, when we're discouraged, we say the wrong things and we stop God from doing the right thing. Never make an important decision when you're discouraged. Amen? Never post on Facebook when you're discouraged. Okay, just kidding. Lord, thank you. Listen, as we go home tonight, 3 things. If you're here tonight, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, and that if you don't know what that means, we'll tell you up front. If you've never received the free gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of a loving God is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's for everybody, whosoever will. We would love to pray for you. If you say, Pastor, I just need to come back to God, we want to pray for you. If you've been through some real spiritual warfare and you don't feel like God's done ministering to you, don't go home. We want to pray for you at the altar. And lastly, if you need a physical healing, there's a massive anointing for healing, come forward. So anyone wanting prayer, come forward. Just for 30 seconds, but they come forward. Edward, let's worship the Lord. While those that need prayer, come forward.
You're perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, you are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all.
I love you. You're an awesome church. I'm honored and humbled to be able to do this with you. Have an awesome rest of your week. Bring someone with you to church on Sunday. It's going to be outrageous. God bless you.
Love your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. You're a good It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood.